This episode of The Happy Millen Show is a raw, real, honest, deep conversation with my dear friend Cody Jefferson, who is a former pastor, a musician, a leader, and the founder of Embrace the Lion. He's a badass dad, and he is a kick-ass partner to his gorgeous, incredible, amazing partner. Now, here's the deal. On this particular episode, Cody shared his journey of business from scratch right to leading multi-million dollar companies. Now, you're not going to want to miss this episode. It is behind the curtains. It is the raw, real, honest, vulnerable stuff. And as heavily tattooed as this incredible guy is, he is as bright, as talented, as heartstrong, and he is an incredible leader. You're going to love this episode. It's going to be one of those episodes that you just come away from going, oh my gosh. I love you. Enjoy the episode. And here's Cody.
Welcome to the show that's redefining success for high achievers globally. This is where you come to hear from high achievers who are making bank, making love, making memories, and who are truly happy. And here's your host, Liz Benny.
Liz Benny back here, and oh my gosh, like I am really both kind of ridiculously excited and super calm about introducing the incredible Cody Jefferson to the call today. Cody, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, so for those of you watching right now, you're like, of course he's there. We can see him. He's like sitting there right now. For those of you listening, of course, things are a little bit different. I want to intro in the incredible Cody Jefferson. Now, you're going to notice that Cody and I probably speak in a different way to how a lot of the other podcasts on the show actually have come about. Because Cody and I have known each other. How long have we known each other, dude?
2017, 18, 19, 20, 21, almost 5 years.
Yeah. So yeah. He was original Liz Benny fan club member.
Yeah. What? Yeah. I found your ad on the internet. And you remember we met at a conference 2017, and I sent you a very creepy message like, hey, I love your stuff. I am heavily tattooed and I have a beard. I'm probably going to come give you a hug. Do not be intimidated.
I took a screenshot of that. I was like, yeah, dude, there's some weirdo. He's going to run at me. Like, at least I got the warning.
You got the warning. Here we are.
That was amazing.
5 years later.
That was a really cool event, that one. That was Meltdown, right?
Yeah, Meltdown of the Desert. Yeah.
Nice.
It was good.
That was amazing. Mm-hmm. So everyone watching this right now, Cody is just simply amazing. And he is a very, very, very dear friend of mine. We've rocked it out. We've taken each other through some, we've been there for each other, stood beside each other through some pretty hairy moments in life, in business, in love, in all of these types of things. I'm kind of like stumbling on my words here, but that's okay. So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to have, as per usual, we're going to have a raw, real, honest type of conversation. This one's probably going to go a little bit deeper than most. And I really want Cody to be able to take this call where it is destined to go today. So Cody, let's talk about business and fulfillment. What is the thing that pops up first? When I say business and fulfillment, what's the topic that comes to your mind when I talk about business and fulfillment?
That's a good question. So, I mean, when the topics are two that I would say I probably talk about the most, they're not mutually exclusive. A lot of times we think that they are, the business is a means to an end for us to find fulfillment on the backside of it. But one of the things that I've recognized is that we can have both, that they're not, you know, they're not, it's a false binary. And so fulfillment obviously is the contextualization of how we live and move and have our being every day, like what gives us life, what brings us hope, the greater call that we're looking to fulfill at any point in time. Business is a mechanism to that. You know, what we do and how we treat our time and how we treat our money, the product, services, and offers that we offer to marketplace and whatever it is that we're doing. So when I think business and I think fulfillment, I think that the two need not be mutually exclusive.
I couldn't agree more. This is amazing. So, dude, people call you the pastor of prophets. Like, you've born up, yeah, you've been raised up through the church. You're a former pastor. You're a musician. You've got the most gorgeous voice. You are heavily tattooed. You've got the beard. To the outside world, if they follow you on Insta, like, dude,
Like Instagram is like you can see some cool stuff through Instagram, but you can also not see it all.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the behind the curtains, Cody. Like behind the curtains, Cody, how is he? And is he different in any way, shape or form? Like I know that you're pretty solid. Let's talk about like behind the scenes, Cody. What is it that we don't see on Instagram?
Yeah, I mean, it's far less exciting than people think. What's interesting about social media is social media allows you to use a lens. Like if you think about a camera, right? We have different lenses. It's the lens that you view someone's life through, right? And their experience. And so at any given time, we get to filter that through what we want you to see and experience. What I've tried to do as best I can is create as much transparency while maintaining privacy, obviously, as possible to give you a glimpse into knowing who I really am while also, again, maintaining the integrity and privacy of my personal life and my family. So all that to say, I think one of the greater compliments that I receive anytime that I'm speaking or going to an event, anytime people run into me that maybe engage with my content and follow me online, is that I'm the same. I'm what they expect, which is great. I mean, at the end of the day, like I get to do some really, really cool things. I've got a fairly cool aesthetic about me. But you'll find that I live in Oklahoma. Most days I am at a desk on Zoom calls. And if I'm not doing that, I'm usually with my son and we're getting into mischief or trouble somehow, or I'm in his corner coaching wrestling. My life, for me, success is contentment without complacency. And so I've spent a great deal of my life chasing a lot of things that have no eternal consequence or significance. And what I found is that there are some ways in which, you know, we look at the dollar figure and money does solve most problems. I mean, anybody that says that it doesn't, they just don't make enough money because it does. But there are also conversations and there are complexities and there are circumstances that money doesn't. And so as much as we think that money is part of the legacy, living into the legacy is just as much. And so I think what you'd find with me is that I'm actually probably more intentional offline than I am online. I give less thought to what I post on social media than I do to the experience of my life as a whole. You know, you'll find that I like, you know, good comfort. This feels like I'm giving you like a resume. You'll find that if you see me in town or you find me anywhere and I have time or space, like we're probably going to sit down and have a cup of coffee or we're going to have a meal together and I'm going to want to know your story. I was a pastor for 13 years occupationally. People ask me, like, what's it like to not be a pastor anymore? I'm more a pastor now than I ever was inside the four walls of the church. I just don't have the politics anymore. And I can say more four-letter words without fear of any repercussion. So I'm me. And I think people get that. I think that's why I have the community that I do and why I have the support that I do is that I don't try to be anything that I'm not. I don't try to flex anything that I'm not. None of that really impresses me. I'm more impressed with the content of someone's character. I do a lot of Q&As so that people can kind of get to know me on a personal level and get to know my insights. So I would say that I would say probably one of the greater successes of my life is that if you asked my son who I am, that you see all these things on social media and you ask him who I am, that he would say that I'm better than anything that you could see online because you just see a fraction of the man that I am.
I adore this. Now, I love this. Firstly, for those of you listening and watching, Cody that you see now is Cody that I know. And there are a rare few people out there. So, you know, I only interview real people, like people who step up into the world, they're claiming their stage, they're doing their thing. A lot of the time in the space, well, yeah, internet marketing, but also just online, we see what people want us to see instead of the honest behind the scenes. Or what you were saying before. I've had that situation before where people are coming to me, oh my gosh, like you're like you are online. I'm like, yeah, well, why wouldn't I be? So I actually really adore that and love that about you. And I love that you've asked or you've answered questions, Cody, that I was going to ask. I was going to ask about Stetson and what he thought and all that sort of stuff. But you've done this so many times, I don't even need to ask the question. Hey, what we're going to do for the remainder of this interview is you're going to ask yourself questions.
Perfect.
And then you're going to answer them. And I'm just going to sit here. Is that okay with you?
That's great. That's okay.
So you've got this really cool sign behind you. We love the neon. And for those of you listening right now, he's got a sign behind him that says, embrace the line. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So in 2017, I stepped out of occupational ministry as a pastor and stepped obviously into what I'm doing now. And with that, I needed a name, right? Because everybody has to have a catchy name. And so I was thinking through, like, what does it mean to step into the call? And for me as a man, I wasn't finding anything within the church circuit, like within all of the like kind of Christianese literature that really stood out to me. And so, I mean, it started to kind of create it, and I recognized like, I didn't want it to just be my name. Like I wanted something that was brandable and something that could carry on. And so originally it was embrace the line of the tribe of Judah. Super cumbersome as a URL, very long, very long. And so embrace the line was born, and embrace the line really meaning that there is an animal inside each and every one of us, especially, you know, again, I work primarily with men. And so recognizing that masculinity and that animal isn't something to be feared or to be caged, but it is something to learn to control. And that there is something inside of us that is bigger than ourselves, which again, the line of the tribe of Judah, which is just a symbol for God. Right. That there is a God inside of us who has called us to something greater on purpose and for purpose and with purpose and by purpose. And, you know, for the sake of the conversation, whatever you want to call God, I got out of the conversion business a number of years ago. I would rather people look at the context of my life and the fruit of my life and say, okay, there's something different about you. Can we have that conversation? Do I care what you believe? Genuinely, right? So long as you're not hurting yourself or others, we're fine. or doing weird stuff. Like, just don't be weird with it. You know, and so that's where the name came from, was just this idea of confronting my own niceties and my own propensities to be a people pleaser, to be a yes man, and to confront that within myself to recognize that there is something greater inside of me.
So if you're lying on your deathbed, just project your mind out there for a second.
Sure.
And you look back on your life. What does a life well lived look like for you?
Yeah, that I don't leave anything on the table with anything that I put my heart and my hands to. That I have raised my son to be a man who is capable, who's competent, who is loving, who is encouraging, who is gracious, who is God-fearing, who is resilient, who is strong, who is compassionate, who is a provider, a protector, who presides over his own family. That at the end of this life, there is standing room only at my memorial service because of the impact that my actions have had, that the message of being fully seen and fully known and fully loved carries on far beyond me.
I love that. I adore that. I love that. That is so special. So you used a really amazing word there. You said a lot of words, and a lot of people right now are like, please, what's the word that you're referencing right now? You used the word action. You talked about impact, and then you said action. So I'm wondering, like, there are a lot of people right now listening to this, and they have the hum, they've got the beat in their heart, and they're not being the all of themselves that they know that they can be. For some reason, they feel like they're locked, or they have to do things a certain way, the way that it has been, or the way that they should do it. Da, 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 da. You're talking about impact, the action of which allows it to come through. What do you think or feel or know to be true about a person who is locked and who is not taking the action that they need to take in order for them to live a fulfilled life, a life where you know, they're bust out, like their soul is like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Like, you let me out of the cage. Thank you so much. This is
amazing. Yeah. Well, one, I mean, recognize fulfillment's never a destination that we arrive to. It's just a moment we live into. And so we always think that we're going to, like, we've got to reach this purpose. Purpose is just, is living your life with intention every single day towards something that's greater than yourself. Right. And recognize that you're called to it. And so in and of that, you're going to give your all because you're working towards something that's bigger than you. It doesn't mean they're going to be happy every day. That doesn't mean that adversity is not going to come your way. That doesn't mean it's a magic pill and all of a sudden nothing goes wrong in your life. It just, it shifts the way that we confront those obstacles. And so when we find ourselves stuck, we call it in buffering mode, right? We find ourselves buffering. So really, we're just afraid. We're just afraid. You know, the brain loves to stay where it's at. It's what it's called to do, right? I mean, we're busy doing a lot of things. Like, I'm using my hands right now without thinking about it. I'm talking, I'm formulating, you know, thoughts. You're trying to discern whether, you know, I'm full of it or not. You're watching it. You're looking at body language. Liz is laughing. We're doing all these things we don't think about. I'm sitting up and using muscles I don't think about. I'm breathing. My heart's beating. Like, we've got all this stuff happening. All this stuff. Your brain doesn't want to do new things. This is not what it wants to do. It likes to be perceptively safe. And so anything new, even if something that you really want, is still perceived as a threat. And so a lot of the ways in which we stay stuck is one, like, our brain doesn't like the perception of the threat in and of itself. There's a fear of failing. There's also a fear of success, because some of us have a real fear of what it might mean to be successful and who we'll have to become as a result of that. And lastly, we just lack accountability or the objective frameworks to be able to make that come to pass. So we get stuck in the idea of the thing. We get stuck dreaming. We get stuck formulating. We still get stuck in the idea because we like the response of the dopamine and we confuse that with action. We don't actually have the frameworks or the accountability to move forward. And so we never do. So we stay stuck in the cyclical loop, which this then confirms our suspicion that we're not good enough to do the thing that we said that we wanted to do, right? Which then keeps us where we are. But I found that if you can get out of your way enough to seek the accountability and to seek the frameworks, right? Whether that be school, whether that be a coach, whatever the framing is, someone to hold you to who you're called to be and hold you to the accountability of what you say it is that you want, it can help you shorten that gap. Typically, we can get out of our own way. A lot of the times, it's just learning to bypass the emotional constructs in our brain to be able to do the things that we say we ought to do rather than getting stuck in the procrastination, which is really just a response to stress and overwhelm. So, yeah.
Dude, this is amazing. I want to have a conversation around, like, I completely love and I hear everything that you've just said. And I want to have a conversation around trauma because okay. I feel like a lot of people listening to this right now, they're listening and they're going, dude, this is amazing. Yeah. Like, this is amazing. But I've tried. I've had the coach and I still didn't get the results. Mm-hmm. And some of that can be like scapegoating, and we know that.
Sure.
And some of it can be the wrong coach. Some of it can be like whatever it is.
Yeah.
So trauma, let's talk about that, because you've experienced your fair share of big stuff.
Yeah.
In your life. To what degree do you think inability to move comes from trauma? And then if that's like, and let's have a conversation around trauma release and what you think one of the greatest gifts is that you can give to yourself, which I think you're probably going to say therapy.
Well, if I didn't, I am now, because you already set me up to say that. So
well, it could be anything. Like, I mean, I just had a therapy session yesterday. So for me, that wasn't therapy.
Sure. I mean, it goes into it. I mean, I would say probably the greater experience, I feel like we can extrapolate that a little bit. The greater gift that you can give yourself is to be fully known, right? And to be fully experienced in all of your trauma and the complexities and all of your insecurities and all the ways in which you fear someone, like, if they really knew me, like, giving yourself the gift of just releasing that and taking off the mask. I think that's the greatest gift we give ourselves and really allow ourselves to be fully seen and known and loved.
Speaking of that, can I just cut in there for a second and go, like, taking off the mask? Like, what is a mask that you've had on in the past that you no longer have on?
Oh, well, so in ministry, right? So as a pastor, your responsibility or role perceptively, and listen, your mileage may vary, but is that you have to have everything together at all times. Like everything has to look perfect. You have to have all the answers. Like everything needs to be in its proper place. You need to be all things to all people everywhere at all times. And it's exhausting. Mm-hmm. Can't have bad days. You got to be on for people. There's not really any accountability to your own mental health or how you're navigating through the propensities of your own soul's desire to please people or to be an affirmation addict, or even when trauma does strike you, like how are you navigating through it outside of, you know, sometimes like toxic spirituality and positivity and masking that as personal development. They're not the same thing. Mm-hmm. So that's a mask, obviously, I had to take off, which is why now in doing what I do, there's so much meaning, because there, and when you say like you're real, raw, and honest, and there's just nothing, you know, Richard Rohr would have you consider in his book, Falling Upward. There's two halves of life, and it's like the hero's journey. And in the first half of life, there is this journey that we go on where we're trying to prove something, like the prodigal has to go find his own way. And then there's a trauma that happens. There's a fall that happens. There's something that shifts the core values of his reality. And he comes back, as scripture would say, with fresh eyes for the first time, with again, a contentment, which Rohr would have you consider is there being nothing to prove, to hide, or protect. And so for me, the mask coming off is like, okay, cool. I don't have anything to prove anymore. I don't think I have anything to hide anymore. I don't really have anything to protect anymore outside of obviously the things that we protect by nature, which is our family and our own, you know, desire to be safe, perceptively and in reality. So all that to say, that's a time when I had to take a mask off. Yeah, the greatest gift we can give ourselves is to be fully known. And again, I think that can happen in a multitude of ways. I found a lot of healing in counseling / therapy. I go tomorrow. I go every week. I appreciate it because it's not really for me. I don't do well from my experience with a whole lot of just circular talking. I don't need to talk about my feelings a lot. I just need solutions. So my therapist is probably more on the academic intellectual side of being able to examine why I do the things that I do, why I think the way I do, how traumas have influenced me and influenced some of my subconscious thought and some of my triggers, and then how to combat those in real time, which has then obviously led me to be a better partner, a better dad, a better co-parent, a better coach, better mentor, better leader. So.
Dude. When you were talking before, I love all this. I love this conversation. And for those of you listening and watching, I hope that you are just loving how raw, real, and honest Cody is being here. So I really want to talk about when you no longer have the requirement, the internal requirement to protect, you know, be that protective, like what people might think of me, for example. Yeah. Because I think a lot of people are like, oh, I can't post that, or I can't do that, or I can't start that, or I couldn't do that because I'm under the wing of such and such, or, and whatever that is, it could be, you know, business partner, it could be just whatever it is.
Yeah.
When you, because I've actually watched you quite literally build from nothing, build from a base of nothing. And that's not my story to tell. That's your story to tell.
Yeah.
But I've watched you go from nothing to experiencing massive fruits of not only your external labor, but your internal labor as well.
Yeah.
That internal faith, that internal drive, that internal beingness, like, holy crap, I must. I got nothing else. Like, I must do this. To what degree do you feel like releasing yourself of the burden of, like, I just don't care what people think of me anymore. I've got nothing to protect, so I'm just going to go. To what degree do you think that has served you in growing your million-dollar company?
I mean, I wouldn't say that it's everything, but I would say that it's releasing your need to be liked by everyone, or recognizing that certain people are going to make judgments on you simply because they will never hear your side of the story. That there are certain people that you were raised with or by, or certain contexts in which you have grown up, certain communities, certain even religious communities, that may never understand where you're going. And that's okay. Sometimes walking in love is walking in distance. There's an analogy of relationships and a string. And so if you're listening, you'll have to use this analogy and do the best that you can with your hand in your head. If you're watching this, so imagine I've got a string between my fingers right now in each hand. And so they're parallel to each other. So my hands are at the same level and they're holding a string tight. And this is where all relationships start. And this is where we start the basis of our assumptions. And so if one of us starts to grow or grow in any capacity, whether you're growing a business, you're growing spiritually, you're growing in a relationship, you're doing something different that challenges the way the other person thinks or feels or has their being. You go up, that line gets a little bit more tense, right? And so long as the other person grows in some capacity, they're going up too. So it's fine and the relationship can sustain. But as you continue to grow, one of a few things is going to happen. You're either going to be so afraid of offending this person, you're going to be so afraid of what they might think, you're going to be so afraid of how they might judge you, you might be so afraid of what might happen if you ascend past where you feel the threshold of the relationship can sustain itself, that you will keep yourself playing small. Mm-hmm. We find this in relationships all the time, like in romantic relationships, where one person will hinder themselves because they feel like they have to stay at the level of their partner. Right. We also find this in context of spiritual conversations where my family's always believed this. And even though I may not believe this anymore, I'm going to hold on to it because I can't piss my family off. Or we continue to ascend and we continue to grow and we don't do anything about it. We don't have hard conversations. We don't put boundaries in place and the line viscerally snaps. And we create a lot of disorder and dysfunction and pain. But then a third thing can happen as well, and that is that we actively cut the line, knowing that we love this person, we value this person, we value everyone's opinion for what it is in the context of where they are in their life, their own level of awareness, but we recognize that walking in love is sometimes walking in distance, and I'm going to do the things that I'm called to, knowing that you're never going to understand, and that's okay because I play a very particular role in your life, and that assigned identity is one that you can't shift. Because that means that you would have to examine your own life and shift some things that you're not ready to. That's okay too. Just because you've never done it doesn't mean that I can't. Just because you don't live and move and have your being in a certain way doesn't mean that I won't or can't. And so removing your own soul's responsibility, felt responsibility to have to be all things to all people, to have to guide everyone to places that they're not ready to go, will give you a greater propensity and movement forward to be able to cultivate what it is that you're called to in this life because you have nothing, again, to protect, nothing to prove, and nothing to hide. You get to be you, recognizing that those who are meant to be in your path and are looking to follow you will, and those who aren't, that's okay. They're going in their own way. You have no responsibility toward them because this is your one precious life and they have theirs.
I hope that landed on everybody's heart. It certainly landed on mine. So everyone, I want to give you a little bit of context here. Cody like does this incredible like pastor of prophets thing that like you just, for those of you watching, you will have seen him just be absolutely clear, absolutely certain, absolutely in his element as he was delivering that. And for those of you that were listening, you will have felt that hopefully as well. How does a person, Cody, how does a person do their version of what you just did so seamlessly?
Practice.
Here we go.
So you have, it's practice. It's one, being clear in the message that you're delivering and focusing on that, right? When we try to be a master of all things, we're a master of no things. Mm-hmm. There are certain things that I don't talk about because I'm not an expert in it. I'll recruit an expert to talk about the things that I don't know anything about. Again, when we don't have anything to prove, then we don't have to overcompensate by trying to be an expert of things that we have no business talking about. Just because you have a platform on the internet doesn't mean that you've earned it. Right? But now we're all perceived experts in everything simply because we have a social platform and a keyboard that we can type on. So it would be get very clear on what you want to say. Get very clear on who you're talking to. Right? I talk to my son differently than I talk to you. Because I know who I'm talking to and I know the bandwidth of his capacity to retain information and to receive that information. I know what he needs to hear from me and I know how he needs to hear it. So I'm going to talk differently to him. You'll notice even as I'm talking about my son, my voice has gotten much quieter and much more sincere because I can't talk about my son not thinking about how I would talk to him. Mm-hmm. So who are you talking to? Why are you talking to them? And what do you have to say? Because most of us have perfected the art of saying absolutely nothing. The Bible says we're akin to a clanging gong. So make sure that what you say has substance and meaning, because if that's the case, if you're saying things that people need to hear and things that move them forward in any capacity, in any area of life or business or love or spirituality or development, then people will listen. And then from there, it's articulating in a cohesive manner and practicing that so that you eliminate some of the common pitfalls of speaking like, duh. It comes with practice.
I love this. So to what degree have you used your faith or spirituality or meditation to work out your message? Has it come through you? Or do you, is it a construct? Is it something you've created in your thinking brain? Is it your feeling heart?
It's my identity. Mm-hmm. I don't know any different. Mm-hmm. I don't, even in my prodigal wandering, as it would be, even when I was running from my faith, there was never a moment that God wasn't chasing after me. Mm-hmm. And so there's no way that anything that I say doesn't tie back to my faith or to the spiritual experience of my life because it is so ingrained. It is my life. Mm-hmm. And so the propensity of how I push a narrative forward, it's always going to be backed by my experience to faith and my experience to the practice of my spirituality and the practice of my faith, because it's so ingrained in who I am. It's not a balancing act. It's not a compartmentalized ideology that exists on the subconstruct of a platform. It is who I am. And so there's no way to talk about me without talking about my son. There's no way to talk about me without talking about certain traumas. There's also no way to talk about me or for me to talk to you without talking about what I feel is the grace of God on my life and the call of God in my life.
I adore this conversation. We're talking about identity here as well. I think a lot of the time in business, we don't know who we are. And I'm saying we as a collective.
Sure.
So I've been very clear and focused since I remember a conversation with someone one time and I was like, I know who I am and I know where I'm going. I know what I'm called to do. I just had this inner knowing, this inner beating, like beating of the heart. I knew what I was destined towards. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing it. I'm being it. I am this right now. I think a lot of people, though, don't experience that. And when they heard you say, oh, it's my identity, they're like, yeah, but I don't know who I am. What do you have to say to them?
Sometimes we find out who we are by really exploring who we don't want to be.
Yeah.
So, and I find this to be true with what we want. A lot of people don't know what they want. Mm. So let's start with what you don't want. What do you not want to experience anymore? What are the feelings that you don't want anymore? As far as identity and who you are, like, what do you not want to experience anymore? What are the ways in which you were raised? What are the experiences that you have partaken in, that you were subjected to, that you participated in actively, passively, subjectively, that no longer serve you? What does serve you? What do you stand for? What do you believe? What are the tenets of your belief system? What are your core values? Because that's really all identity is, right? At the end of the day is what do I stand for? And what am I willing to sacrifice for and to what degree? Right? What makes me angry? What makes me sad? What makes me happy? What cultivates a sense of deep purpose in my life? That's all identity is, right? Identity isn't a cute one-line sentence on your Instagram bio. It's much deeper than that. It has to be.
I'm going to throw a spanner in the works. I agree with everything you just said.
Okay.
You are the king of many things. And what I mean is the king of just blessing people with the grace of awesome phrases that are either from biblical reference or trauma or like you've done a lot in your life to get to where you are.
Yeah, I've walked a few miles. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you do. You definitely have. So yeah. You can do so many things at a very, very, very high degree. You have had to teach yourself simplicity.
Yeah.
And there's a phrase that you use repeatedly, and I've heard it many, many times in our friendships and Well, yeah, we had a little bit of a break for a period of time. So
yeah.
What if it could be simple?
Yeah.
To what degree do you think people are actively choosing a more complex life than they actually really want? And why?
I would say more than we think. Mm. I could put an arbitrary percentage to it, but 67% of statistics are made up on the spot. So I won't do that. We make things more complicated than they need to be because it justifies our experience. Mm. It justifies what we want to believe to be true. A relationship has to be hard because that's all I ever saw growing up. It has to be hard. Mm-hmm. Love doesn't last. So we create self-sabotaging tendencies, mm-hmm. right? Not recognizing that we are the self-fulfilling prophecy of the demise of anything good and pure that we want in our life. Because at the end of the day, the brain is simply seeking to confirm a suspicion that it has. Mm-hmm. We make things more complicated in business than they need to be because it justifies why things don't work all the time. Mm-hmm. Justifies why we don't have things as quickly as others. Mm-hmm. It justifies why we get to stay stuck and stay being a victim to our mm-hmm. own conversation and identity. Mm-hmm. And that's really the big crux of the thing is we make things more difficult so that we can justify our own victimization in some way, shape, or form. Listen, that doesn't mean that things are easy. Like, I don't want easy. Right? Greatness isn't built on ease. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have to be complicated. Mm-hmm. Right? Love isn't complicated. It's not easy, but it's not complicated. Mm-hmm. We complicate things. Mm-hmm. Business isn't complicated. Business is metrics. It's numbers. It's KPIs. It's P&Ls. It's frameworks. It's being able to look at something objectively and say, is this working or is it not? That's all it is. We make things more complicated with our emotional attachment, with our assignment of a failure in business to a failure of our own identity and who we are. And we confuse the two because we meld and we mold and we merge who we are with what we do. And we don't create a discernible line of difference. And so when something doesn't work, we feel we don't work. And so we continue to play small. We make things more complicated to justify that it's not us. It's this thing. It's ads. It's iOS. It's the funnel. It's the offer. It's all these things. It's the audience. It's the algorithm.
So, dude, I love this. When you have simplified your life, things mm-hmm. took off.
Yeah.
I remember asking you, dude, what was the key ingredient when you had, again, it's not my story to tell. When you were at what we would call rock bottom in a lot of regards.
Yeah.
There were two things that you were talking about on Instagram mm-hmm. from which, like, you stepped into faith, you stepped into a different part of your beingness. You were yeah. talking about two things on Instagram. And from that, actually, and you took some very direct action, you were very mindful of who you hung out with, mm-hmm. and you spoke about two things that you were an expert in, and that's all you did.
Yeah.
And from that foundation, you built a multi-million dollar business in a mm-hmm. very short space of time. Mm-hmm. So my recollection here is that you spoke about Stetson. So you spoke about being a dad, and you spoke about faith. Mm-hmm. And from those two things, you poured it out of your heart without giving a shit what anyone thought. You were just being and being and being yeah. and being.
Yeah.
How did that feel?
I I mean, I think it felt as honest as I could be in my own experience, because there were the two things that I was sure of. And in life and in business, we get thrown curveballs consistently, and we face adversity on a consistent basis. If you don't, we'll just hang out a little bit longer because it's coming. And anyone doing anything, anyone pushing towards any level of development or improvement or call or purpose, you're going to face adversity. And even if you're not, you'll face adversity. You just may be a bit more complacent about it, because there's not as much at stake. But for those of us who do have things at stake, and for those of us who are pushing towards something that is greater than ourselves, those were the two truths that I knew in my life would never deviate. And far too often, you know, business is interesting. Like, you know, I consult a lot of companies in a variety of different verticals on a variety of different, you know, topics and conversation, whether that be culture or marketing, sales, or, you know, scale to exit, M&A, you know, pre-IPO, what, I mean, there's a lot of things that I have the ability to have a conversation on and be able to navigate people through. But at the end of the day, a lot of that, I mean, you can find in books. That's how I've learned a great deal about business, is books and relationships. And some of these things, they just never change, right? I mean, you can find pretty much anything you want on the internet. So it's not a matter of needing more information. We have more information. What I found is that most people lack the accountability, the belief, and the internal fortitude to move things forward. People just get stuck. And so what I recognize for myself is I know how to build businesses. I don't need to talk about that. All I need to talk about right now is what I believe, and help others navigate what they believe, because it feels like people, I mean, we were coming off the back also of, like, this has been an insanely odd, life-changing, world-changing 2 years. People feel lost. People feel isolated. People are actually isolated. People are finding themselves without hope. People are making money and finding themselves deeply unfulfilled. People are finding themselves disconnected from their families, disconnected from their kids, disconnected from their spouses, disconnected from friends. And so for me, it's how do I help you answer the questions that money doesn't? And that's where I've camped out. Because money's the most simple question. I mean, money's just a conversation of a value proposition and a transference. That's really all it is. We make it more complicated than it needs to be, right? Like, we make it more complicated. Money's really hard. Money's scarce. Like, we grow up thinking that money is the root of all evil and money is the problem. That's why mom's crying in the kitchen. That's why, you know, dad's never home, because he's always working, because there's never enough money. There's never enough money. There's never enough money. I never have the things that I need. I never had the stuff that I wanted growing up. I had to wear hand-me-downs. I had to do all these things. Like, when I grow up, I'm just going to solve that problem. And then we solve that problem, but we're still disconnected because now we're overworking. And now your wife is upset and crying in the kitchen because you're having an affair and your kid just has more shit that he doesn't need. And you're still the absent parent carrying on the generational trauma that you experience. It just looks different. So just help people answer a different set of questions now.
Dude, I love this. I want to have a different conversation with you right now. Would that be okay with you?
We're going to find out, aren't we? I don't know until you ask.
That's amazing. Because everything that you just said is just, I mean, dude, that is mic drop. I don't need to add anything to that in any way, shape, or form. I see you. I hear you. I agree 100%. Exclamation mark, mic drop. We'll close that loop on that last segment. Okay. That was amazing. I loved it. So when we're talking about fun and freedom.
Yeah.
Like, what are some of the most fun things that you have done in business over the last year? Like, if you just were like, oh, dude, that was so fun. And that was so fun. That was so, like, let's just talk about fun here for a second.
Yeah.
What's fun for Cody?
Fun. I have fun every day.
Yeah, of course.
Like, legit. I mean, I'm pretty good time. I'll be honest with you. I'm a guy you want to hang out with. I'm pretty fun. I'm pretty live in the moment within reason. Like, I don't do really stupid stuff. Like, I'm not that guy. Like, I calculate my risk. And I try to mitigate injury. but I try to be as aware as best I can that, I mean, today is all I've got. I've buried too many people and I've been through too many things to really take this life for granted. So I have a lot of fun. Some of the highlights for me, I've gotten to spend so much time with friends this year. And for me, like, the really fortunate part is we all do the same thing in some regards. Like, we're all in business. We all speak at the same conferences. We all host the same conferences together. We all have the same hobbies. I go on, you know, quite a few surf trips with my friends. I get to go out to California. I get to go out to Miami. I get to go up to Scottsdale. I get to go down to Dallas. I get to travel.
Dude, I haven't seen you in New Zealand yet. I'm just going to say.
I have not. Like... Well, listen, there's a reason for that. And it's because I do have a lot of tattoos, but I don't like all needles.
Here we go.
Hashtag my body, my choice. So.
Oh, dude. I love this.
Yeah.
I love this. I cannot wait to jump on a plane. And I actually looked a couple of days ago. I was like, you know what? Like, I've got this person that I'm looking to help in America. And I was like, you know what? Like, I don't want to do this Zoom thing anymore. I just want to jump on a plane. And I went and I can get a plane ticket. I can, sure. I can fly there.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I'm allowed back is a different story.
Yeah. So, but listen, we're a good time. Like, we have some weird stuff going on right now, but we're still a pretty good time.
I think, well, yeah, totally.
Especially you come to the Midwest, it's still, we're still pretty normal here. I mean, I guess if you call, you know, being spiritual and conservative, normal. That's normal to me. Yeah. That's normal to me. So
for those of you listening right now, what I actually did was I played my air guitar in the background there.
That wasn't an air guitar. Like, by the way, that wasn't an air guitar. That was a banjo highlight the ideology that because I'm in Oklahoma, that I'm somehow some backwoods hick that's inbred. I appreciate the love and support there.
Oh, I love you so much.
Yes. Let's just go ahead and call a spade. Let's not try to church it up. No, that's what,
actually,
that's what we did.
No, we did totally a banjo. I actually want to learn the banjo, dude. Like, that would be fun.
Yeah.
That would be super fun. And I can actually play that piece for you and it not.
It's a pretty complex piece to play, but yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm a pretty complex, loving
person.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, let's have a little bit of fun here. We're kind of coming up to the top of the session here. I want to have some fun and ask you some bam, bam, bam type questions. The goal of these questions is to answer them as fast as humanly possible without a care in the world. Are you okay with that?
I mean, let's go.
Okay, cool. What's the last thing you bought and why?
Last thing I bought was a book for a friend.
And why?
Because he's trying as best he can to be a better man, and it was a framework to help him do that.
That's awesome. What are your top three movies?
Top three movies. Goonies.
Oh, yes.
The Notebook.
And
probably John Wick.
Oh, okay. And who has most positively impacted your life?
Jesus.
There we go. What's your favorite subject to talk about?
My son.
What was your very first job?
Lugging plants to cars.
Wow. What are the three greatest gifts that you share with the world?
My attention, my intention, and my affection.
Oh, I love that. What was your favorite toy as a child?
Slingshot.
Huh?
A slingshot.
Oh, there we go. What was your favorite childhood book?
Adventures of Huck Finn.
What was your favorite subject at school?
I did pretty well academically. I would say that my favorite subject was probably English and literature.
Wow. If you could have any actor play you in a movie, who would it be?
Brad Pitt.
Oh, of course. If any of you are listening to this right now, you're probably going to want to view Cody and you'll see the similarities there between him and Brad Pitt if you have any, you know. Anyway, So what would be your last meal request?
Anything with my son.
Oh, I love that. Favorite concert you have ever attended?
John Mayer.
What is your secret indulgence? Other than Chick-fil-A, I feel like.
Yeah, I was like, there's not really any secrets about it. I'm a big fan of Kit Kats.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Right. Here's one final question for you. By the way, you get top marks. Like, there are some people who just overcomplexicize this whole thing. Yeah. They're like, you're like,
remember? Remember how we talked about making things more complicated than they need to be?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So people, like, listen, do it like Cody. This is amazing. We've got one final question here for you.
That's what she said.
If you have $1 million, like, right here, and you have to give it away, right? It's in your hand. You have to give it away. Who do you give it away to and why?
Who do I give $1 million to? I would give it to my friend, Cammie, who runs an organization freeing women and girls from sex trafficking.
Oh my gosh. So beautiful, incredible, amazing Cody Jefferson. I love you very, very, very dearly. You're one of my closest and dearest friends in my entire life. And I love getting to do life with you.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Let's have a conversation. Let's close this up here for a second.
Okay.
If there was one final thing that you could say to help someone right now who is lost, who has been in a place perhaps where you have been, and who really just wants to have that sense of like, I just want to live life. I still want to crush it in business. I want to make the finances, but I want it to feel different now. What's one final thing that you would want to say to that person?
Yeah, I mean, it all had to happen this way. Like, we can romanticize a future that doesn't exist. We can dwell on a past that no longer exists. The only thing that exists is right now. We live in the portal of the present, as it would be stated. So give yourself grace, right? Just because things didn't work in the past doesn't mean that they won't work now. Just because that you failed in the past doesn't mean that you're a failure now. Just because you haven't experienced the level of success that you're feeling is just out of reach doesn't mean that it's not possible for you. That there is no quantifier for your potential. That in the right environment, with the right people, at the right time, with the right resources and the right mindset, there's no test that can quantify what's possible for you. So if you find yourself stuck, if you find yourself recognizing that there's a propensity inside of you that is called to a deeper purpose, passion, profit, and power, then I would suggest that you look into finding the frameworks and the family that could walk with you, that could walk with you intimately, that could know the things about you that you're too afraid to tell everyone. Because again, at the end of the day, the greatest gift we give ourselves is to be fully known, to be fully seen, and to be fully loved. And so my consideration to you is that, again, you are not a failure just because you failed, that success is around the corner for you if you'll receive it. It's not something that you have to earn. It's not something that you even can earn. It's like grace. It's unmerited favor. It's there for you if you wish to claim it. Now, on the backside of that, there is work to be done. That's why half of the law of attraction doesn't work, because you can't just sit around wishing for something. There's action that has to be taken. You may not currently have the discipline necessary to complete the call that you feel is on your life right now. So find the accountability, find the support system, find the community that is going to help you, that is going to walk with you, that's going to champion you, most importantly, is going to hold you accountable to the leader, to the visionary that you're called to be.
Dude, how do people find out about you?
They can Google me.
I love it. I love it. Okay.
I'm everywhere. I mean, probably the most active platform I'm on is Instagram. So, you know, I believe everybody has a powerful story. Like, if you want to share yours with me, just shoot me a message. It'll probably go to my requests folder, but I always check it. We'd love to hear your story. So just shoot me a message there. You can find me at CodyJefferson.com. I mean, I'm not hard to find on the internet.
That's a wrap, folks. Liz and the Kapow team hope you've loved this episode of The Happy Million Show. Please help us to spread this mission far and wide by leaving us a 5-star review with an amazing comment, and be sure to subscribe so you're notified with future episodes. We've got some incredible guests lined up for you to hear from to help you build both a business and a life you absolutely love. Full of fun, freedom, family time, friends, fulfillment, fitness, and other ifs. You can fill in the blank. Subscribe now. And for your daily cup of kapower, head over to lizbenny.com. Come on, you know you want to.